By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. அம்மா பாப் அவுது பில்லாஹி மின் ஷைத்தான் ரஜீம் பிஸ்மில்லாஹிர் ரஹ்மானிர் ரஹீம் அஸ்ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாம் அலைக்கு யா ரசூலல்லாஹ் வ அல ஆலிக்கு வஸ்ஹாபிக்கு யா ஹபீபல்லாஹ் அஸ்ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாம் அலைக்கு யா நபியல்லாஹ் வ அல ஆலிக்கு வஸ்ஹாபிக்கு யா நூரல்லாஹ் மாஷல்லா வியூஸ் ஆஃப் மதர் சேனல் எவ்ரி டே இஸ் அ பியூட்டிஃபுல் டே எவ்ரி டே இஸ் அ பிளெஸிங் ஃப்ரம் அல்லாஹ் அஸ்ஸவஜல் இஃப் ஓன்லி வி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் இட் அண்ட் ஐ திங்க் இன் லைஃப் நார்மலி வி வேக் அப் இன் தி மார்னிங் அண்ட் வி கம்ப்ளைன் Complain about the weather, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's raining, it's this, it's that. And yet, whatever the weather is, whatever the situation is, there'll be people around the world that are dreamed or wished that they could have the weather that you have got. It may be windy outside, places around the world, it's so scorching, the heat, that they wish they had some wind. It may be raining outside, there are people around the world that wish that they had rain. It may be hot outside, there'll be people around the world that wish that they had some heat. And so whatever the condition is, whatever state Allah Azza wa Jalla keeps you in, you should be happy in that state. And today, again, is a beautiful day, and we can praise Allah Azza wa Jalla and thank Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us another day. Yes, another day to perform good deeds, to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. And here we are today on Rise and Shine. And as you know that whenever we begin the program of Rise and Shine, we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today, the blessing that we've got is that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the intercessor of the Ummah, the final messenger, he's reported to have said that whoever recited the Holy Quran, glorified Allah Azza wa Jal, recited Salat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then asked forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal, he has sought goodness from its source. Viewers of Madhi Channel, another beautiful blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I say it literally every day, and I'm going to continue to say it. Yes, please make a habit of sending salawat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Part of your daily routine, you're traveling to work, you're traveling home from work, you're waiting for something to happen. Whatever it is, utilize that time. And one of the best ways of utilizing our time is to send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of Madhi Channel, on Rise and Shine, I make a claim every day. Yes, and I still stand by that claim. And my claim is that the next package, the first package that we have on Rise and Shine, is the best package. Yes, the best package of any Madhi Channel program. Yes, that's my claim, and I'm going to stand by that until someone proves me differently. And the claim is this, that in this package, we get the honor, we get the opportunity, we get the blessings of being able to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation. Let's go and listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban رحم والا
الف لام میم غلبت الروم في ادنى الارض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون
رومی مغلوب ہوئے پاس کی زمین میں اور اپنی مغلوبی کے بعد ان قریب غالب ہوں گے
فی بضع سنین للہ الامر من قبل ومن بعد ویومئذ یفرح المؤمنون
چند برس میں حکم اللہ ہی کا ہے آگے اور پیچھے اور اس دن ایمان والے خوش ہوں گے
بنصر اللہ ینصر من یشاء وهو العزیز الرحیم
اللہ کی مدد سے وہ مدد کرتا ہے جس کی چاہے اور وہی ہے عزت والا مہربان
وعد اللہ لا يخلف اللہ وعده ولكن اکثر الناس لا يعلمون
اللہ کا وعدہ اللہ اپنا وعدہ خلاف نہیں کرتا لیکن بہت لوگ نہیں جانتے
يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون.
جانتے ہیں آنکھوں کے سامنے کی دنیاوی زندگی اور وہ آخرت سے پورے بے خبر ہیں.
اولم يتفكروا في انفسهم ما خلق الله السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق وأجل مسمى.
کیا انہوں نے اپنے جی میں نہ سوچا کہ اللہ نے پیدا نہ کیے آسمان اور زمین اور جو کچھ ان کے درمیان ہے مگر حق اور ایک مقرر میعاد سے.
وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ.
اور بے شک بہت سے لوگ اپنے رب سے ملنے کا انکار رکھتے ہیں.
أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ.
اور کیا انہوں نے زمین میں سفر نہ کیا کہ دیکھتے کہ ان سے اگلوں کا انجام کیسا ہوا.
كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً وَأَثَارُوا الْأَرْضَ وَعَمَرُوهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُوهَا وَجَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ.
وہ ان سے زیادہ زور آور تھے اور زمین جوتی اور آباد کی, ان کی آبادی سے زیادہ, اور ان کے رسول ان کے پاس روشن نشانیاں لائے.
فما كان الله ليظلمهم ولكن كانوا انفسهم يظلمون.
تو اللہ کی شان نہ تھی کہ ان پر ظلم کرتا, ہاں وہ خود ہی اپنی جانوں پر ظلم کرتے تھے.
ثم كان عاقبة الذين أساءوا السوء أن كذبوا بآيات الله وكانوا بها يستهزئون.
پھر جنہوں نے حد بھر کی برائی کی ان کا انجام یہ ہوا کہ اللہ کی آیتیں جھٹلانے لگے اور ان کے ساتھ تمسخر کرتے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ viewers of the channel, if you've been watching daily Rise and Shine, you will realize that the Quran that we are giving you, the verses that we're giving you every day, is starting at the beginning of the Quran and continuously. And today we started Surah Rum, mashallah, and we had the blessing to listen to some of their verses. So if you watch Rise and Shine every day, inshallah, you'll get the opportunity to listen to the whole of the Quran as well, inshallah, azawajal. And like I said many times before, that we should try and make time to at least listen to the Quran. At least listen to the Quran on a daily basis. If not, better still, read the Quran. And better still, if we read the Quran as a family unit, you know, every day, sit down as a family, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 verses, you know, not the whole, you don't have to read the whole surah. People, you know, cannot sit down and concentrate for a whole hour, for 40 minutes even, for 30 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, sit down as a family, make an intention. So we need to adopt this in our life and live our life according to it. Views of the channel, today on Rise and Shine, we're going to talk about an aspect of our life that maybe not all of us are involved in. But alhamdulillah, the beauty of Islam is that Islam covers every single aspect of our life. So no matter what aspect you have in your life, there is guidance there for you in our deen. From the Quran, from the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the teachings of our pious predecessors, there is guidance there as well. And the thing that we're going to talk about today is how to earn a halal income, and specifically how to be a successful trader. Because Islam gives us guidelines on this. Islam teaches us, even within trade, what is halal and what is haram. And so if we start any business,
then my advice to you before I go into the topic today is whatever business you are doing or whatever business you want to do, get it scanned by Sharia. You know, get it scanned once and speak to the scholars, speak to the muftis and say, look, this is what I want to do. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to sell this, I want to buy this, and this is how I'm going to buy it, this is how I'm going to sell it, etc., etc. Whatever method of purchasing you're going to have, whatever method of selling that you're going to have, because nowadays there's many, many different platforms to sell on. People sell them from homes, people sell them online, people sell them in shops, wholesaling, manufacturing, retailing, production, whatever it is, all these different formats, importing, exporting, all these different formats. And then obviously the type of goods, the specific goods that you're going to be trading in, or whatever you're going to be doing. Sit down with a scholar and say to him, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to do it, and this is how I'm going to make my money, this is how I'm going to charge, this is how I'm going to charge as well, how are you going to charge for it, how the money you're going to receive, all the full details, get the full details of A to Z. You've got a business plan. Everybody does a business plan for their business, or they should do a business plan. Your business plan, put it in front of the scholars and say to them, this is what I want to do. Is this jais? And you know, if the scholars say, if the muftis say, if Darul Iftah say that yes, that is halal, then number one, there'll be a blessing in that, inshallah. Two, you'll have that peace of mind in your heart that, you know what, I'm all right, what I'm doing is fine, I've got nothing to worry about, yeah? But what happens is in many cases we don't. We don't go and speak to the scholars. We don't go and speak to these people. And the reason why is because in our hearts, we're thinking, you know what? I don't think they'll give permission for this. I doubt it. I doubt it. So let's just keep it quiet. Let's just brush it under the carpet. Let's just forget about it. You can't do that. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers and mothers, you cannot do that. Because you can brush it under the carpet today. You can forget about it today. But on the Day of Judgment, though, when you are questioned, why did you live your life earning an haram income? Yeah. Why did you not? And you can say, well, I wanted to go to the scholars, but I didn't get time. But that's not valid. And you cannot say, well, I didn't know what to do. Well, I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling you what to do. Go to Darul Iftah, sit down with them, say, this is my business. And if they say it's jais, then end off. And if they say it's not, then there's no blessings in that. If they say that your income is haram, then there's no blessings in that. And stay away from that. Simple. Allah Azza wa Jal will provide you with the way. You know, I'm a firmly belief. I have this firm belief that if it is in your destiny to become a millionaire, you will become a millionaire. You will become a millionaire. However, you have choices to make on that road, whether you make it through halal means or through haram means. And if it is in your destiny not to become a millionaire, no matter what you do, you will not become a millionaire. So whatever you do, do. Do by halal means and get whatever you do in life checked by the scholars. You get peace of mind, peace of heart that what I'm doing is the correct way. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will put a blessing in this. And just think that if you go and ask the scholars that, yeah, Sayyidi, what am I doing? Is it right? Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, inshallah, will put a blessing in that. So today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the halal and haram income and how the successful traders of the past were. We're going to give an example of a few companions of how they lived their lives and how they were successful and how they were honest. A word that we like to use nowadays, but unfortunately it's a word that cannot be branded on many, many people. There are very, very few people in this world that we can say that are honest, which again is a sad state of affairs. That how many people that we can say that is an honest person, that is an honest person, that is an honest person. Unfortunately, the numbers are dwindling, which again is a sad state of affairs. And that is, inshallah, is something that we're going to discuss a little bit later on. But for now, we're going to go to the Kalam of the Day. As you know, that the second package of the day is always the Kalam of the Day. Let's go to the Kalam of the Day, and inshallah, when we come back, we'll discuss this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Taiba se lautna, kisi aashik se poochhiye. Taiba se lautna, kisi aashik se poochhiye. Aisa lage, ki rooh, بدن سے گزر گئی ایسا لگے کہ روح بدن سے گزر گئی
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی دل وہیں
جاں وہیں رہ گئی خاموشی در پہ اپنی جبھی رہ گئی اللہ اللہ وہاں کا درود و سلام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا سجود و قیام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا درود و سلام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا سجود و قیام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا وہ کیف دوام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا وہ کیف دوام صلات سکون آخری رہ گئی ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی جس جگہ سجدار زی کی لذت ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ سجدار زی کی لذت ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر فلک رہ گیا وہ زمین رہ گئی دل وہیں رہ گیا جاں وہیں رہ گئی خاموشی در پہ اپنی جبھی رہ گئی
پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم رواسوئے کوئے حبیب پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم رواسوئے کوئے حبیب برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی بے بسی زندگی کی یہیں رہ گئی
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی
یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح روح و نظر، یہ انہی کا کرم ہے، انہی کی عطا، یہ انہی کا کرم ہے، انہی کی عطا، ایک کیفیت دل نشین رہ گئی،
دل وہی رہ گیا، جان وہی رہ گئی، خم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی،
زندگانی وہی کاش ہو بسر، کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر، زندگانی وہی کاش ہوتی بسر، کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر، تمنا مگر، اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر، یہ تمنا قلب حزین رہ گئی،
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں قلبِ حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی، دل وہیں رہ گیا، جان وہیں رہ گئی، خم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی،
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah, beautiful kalam there about the blessed city of Medina. We pray that we can all go and visit that beautiful city one day, inshallah. We're using Medina on Rise and Shine today. We're talking about a successful trader, about being an honest trader and attributes of it. And I want to mention a few incidents with regard to Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala. But before I do, many of you that are watching this program today will probably be saying, well, I've never heard that name before. Who is Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala? And again, you know, it's sad to see that we know very little about our pious predecessors. And I know that you'll say, well, you know, okay, he's one of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can tell that because you said radiallahu ta'ala at the end. But there are so many companions. Why should I know who this particular companion is? Well, I'm going to give you his introduction. It's stated in the book that Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala is the son of Safiya, who is the paternal aunt of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, as a relative, he's the paternal cousin of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the nephew of Sayyidina Khadija. He's the son-in-law of Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He is also one of the 10 fortunate companions of the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give the good tidings of being jannati, of being granted paradise. The Ashra al-Mubashri, he is one amongst them 10 people. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, did we know who Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu was? And when we realize that he was the cousin of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the son-in-law of Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he was also one of those 10 special companions that in the lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was with us, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this person is guaranteed paradise. Those 10 blessed companions, and yet we don't know who they are. This is just one of those 10 blessed companions, and he was a businessman. He was a trader, and he was once asked about the secret of him being a successful businessman. And he replied
that I have never bought anything without seeing it, and I never rejected a little profit, and whoever Allah Azza wa Jalla wants, He grants him blessings. This was his mindset. This was the secret of his success in business. That he stated these beautiful madri pearls, and he also said that this is not my excellence, but whoever Allah Azza wa Jalla wishes for it is granted blessings. And from this it can be easily understood that the manner of business and employment of our pious predecessors was very, very great indeed. Like I said earlier on, if it is in your destiny to become a millionaire, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant you this. And if it is not, then it won't. And so we see from these pious predecessors that they already had this mindset. That whoever Allah Azza wa Jalla wants, He grants him the blessings. And this Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam, radiallahu anhu, he was also a great example of piety for others to follow. And he passed away in the blessed month of Jumatul Ukhra. Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam, radiallahu anhu, he was also a very honest person. Many times, people used to place their belongings in security with him. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Usman Ghani, radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Miqdad, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masood, and many other glorious companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all appointed Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu as a guardian over the wealth after their death. Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu would look after the wealth with absolute honesty and would spend on their children from his own earnings. Our pious predecessors, like the blessed companions, all the righteous people of the past, used to be truthful and honest people. They used to be just, they used to be pious, they used to be selfless, and they used to have the passion for goodness and helping others. And these attributes, they would continue to follow the Islamic principles of business. And that's why we see in the past that our pious predecessors, they were prosperous in the blessed eras. But now, if we look at ourselves now, if we look at some of them terms that I just used there, they were just, they were pious, they were honest, they were selfless, they helped people. All these terms that I just mentioned, I seem like ancient terms, seem like terms that, you know, is there anybody that could possibly be a combination of two of them, three of them? Is there anybody amongst us now that is honest and pious, truthful, selfless, helping people? Do these people still exist? Yes, they still exist. But the question is, why not me? Why am I not honest? Why am I not pious? Why am I not just? Why am I not helping people? Why am I not selfless? Why do I not go out of my way to help people? Why does this not happen? And you know, even yesterday I was reading that someone was coming home from work. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him for this. He was driving along and he saw an old person walking on the road. On the motorway, in fact. And he stopped the car. And asked him, you know, what is happening? And he realized that this old person, he was suffering from dementia. He mentally wasn't there. So he didn't know where he was going. So he got him in the car, sat him in the car, and asked him where he lived. And he didn't know where he lived. And he said to him, have you got a wallet or anything like that? And the person pulled out his wallet and he found out that there's some ID in there. And he took him home. He went out of his way and took him home. May seem like a small act. May seem like a very small act. But these selfless acts were the acts of our pious predecessors, that they did these things. They were honest, they were truthful people. People used to leave their goods with them, used to leave their money with them, used to leave their family with them. Do we do that now? Do we trust anybody now? Is there anybody that we know that we can leave our wealth with them? You know, I remember also seeing an interview of someone and he was asked that in your life that you've met hundreds and thousands, you're a very famous person. Everybody knows you. You know, how many people can you trust? And he started thinking, only three people I can trust. And one of them was his mother. You know, only three people you can trust. There are very few people out there that we can trust. But then why? Why have we become like this, that people don't trust us? It's obviously our fault. We have portrayed an image of distrust. We have portrayed an image of not being helpful. We have portrayed this image of being unjust. We have betrayed this image of not helping people. This is what we have given people, this image. You know, you cannot say, well, why don't people think I'm trustful? Right? Because you've done something to make them realize that you cannot be trusted. Why don't people think that I am just? Because you've done something that made them realize that you're not just. And what happens is, you know, they say news spreads. You can be unjust with one person. You can be untrustful with one person. And that news will spread in the community. And before long, everybody will know that this person is not a trustful person. This person is not an honest person. This person is not a just person. And again, that's something that we need to reflect on.
If a person passes away and people speak good about that person, then Jannat is wajib for that person. If a person passes away and people speak ill about that person, then hell is wajib upon that person. If you were to pass away today, if I was to pass away today, although for a short period of time, our families would mourn us, they would cry, there would be gatherings, there'd be khatams. And although we are told in our deen that when somebody passes away, don't speak ill of the dead, but in their heart, would they speak ill of you? Or would they miss you in a positive way? Not only our family, but our neighbors, our colleagues, our fellow students, our teachers, the people that we associate with. Would they speak good of us? And if they would, then congratulations. Insha'Allah Azzajal. But again, this is where we need to be honest. Would they speak bad of us? Would they be glad to see the back of us? Yes, they would attend the gatherings. Yes, they would raise their hands in the dua. They would do all these things. But would they be glad to see the back of us? And if that is the case, and I'm afraid that maybe that will be a majority of the case, then we need to ask that question, why? What am I doing wrong? Yes, I might be clever. People might not have the courage to stand up to me. People might not have the courage to say anything to me because of my status in society, because of my wealth, my power. Whoever I am in society, they can't speak to me. They can't speak to me. Okay, they can't speak to me. I mean, they're afraid of speaking to me because of who I am. Yeah, because I have this status, I have this authority, I have this power, I have this wealth. Because of that, they will not speak to me. And that is a question that we need to ask in our lives. That are we honest, pious people? And not just in business, in every aspect of our life. Be it the fact that you borrow money people off. You know, you borrow some money off someone, and then when the stipulated time comes to give it back, do you give it back on time? If not, you know, why? Why not? And I know people that think they are clever. That I remember someone that they borrowed like, I think, £2,000 of someone. And they give it back piecemeal. Yeah. And when it came to £1,970, they didn't give the last £30. And they thought to themselves, they probably thought to themselves, who's going to come back for that £30? Yeah. I can get away without paying £30. Trying to be clever. Now the person that they owed the money, they said, no, we want our £30 back as well. But they tried to be clever. They tried to be clever and do that. I remember once I sold a car to someone and I was filling in the paper and the price was agreed. The price was agreed, and then when he started counting out the money, he tried to be clever and counted out less on purpose. I said, oh, well, you know, take that now. And I said, no, that was what was agreed. And these sort of acts of trying to be clever, yeah, trying to get away with their £10, trying to get away with £20, trying to get away without paying this, trying to get away without paying that. You know, this is not the way an honest, pious, just person should be. You know, I know it's a different example, but you get those people when it comes time to paying, you know, when they're paying for food and everybody's there and they're all chipping in, all of a sudden they'll go to the toilet. Do you think people are stupid behind you that they don't realize what you're doing? Yeah. Do you think they'll speak good about you if you do these sort of things? And these sort of things happen. You know, you got away without paying that £5 for that food or whatever it is. I'm just giving examples now. But do you think the people behind you, they will think that this is a good person? Do you think they're stupid? They don't realize what's going on here? Do you think that you're so clever that nobody will realize? All right, they might not say anything. They might not speak anything. But this is what we need to think to ourselves. What impact are we having on others? Not just, you know, I'm all right, Jack. You know, there's a saying in English that I'm all right. As long as I'm okay, then it doesn't matter. As long as I'm okay, it doesn't matter. As long as I got my cup of tea, alhamdulillah, today I've been given, you know, some kishmish here and everything, mashallah. As long as I've got it, I don't care about anybody else. That should not be our mindset. And that is not the Muslim mindset. The Muslims are taught to be part of a community. The Muslims are taught to be part of this brotherhood, the part of this ummah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that if one part of the ummah, one person in the ummah is in pain, we should feel that pain. But unfortunately, we don't care about anybody. We don't care about what's happening around the world. We don't care what's happening to our neighbors. We don't care what's happening to our family. We don't care what's happening to our parents. We don't care what's happening to our children, let alone what's happening to the family around the world. You know, we should feel the pain of others. Not only should we feel the pain of others, but obviously, we should not be the one that's giving pain to others. If we are taught, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that we should feel the pain of the ummah, that we should feel that pain, then surely we cannot be the ones that's giving that pain. And so we need to reflect on this and think to ourselves, that what image am I creating? What do people think about me? If they respect me, and some people are respected, why do they respect me? Do they respect me because of my power, my authority, my status? Is that why they respect me? You know? Oh. You know, I remember someone famous, and he said, I don't respect people who don't respect the waiter. Because that person is only respecting me because of who I am today. Tomorrow when I become a waiter, he won't respect me. So I will respect that person who respects the waiter and respects me. You know, this image that we need to create, it's not an image, it's a reality. I've used the wrong word there. It's not an image. We need to create this. People need to realize that we are this. Because on the day where it counts, it will matter. It will matter on that day where you, people around you, if they say that this person was an honest person, this person was a kind person, this person was a truthful, just person, then inshallah, as a result of what people think, then Jannah will be wajib upon you. And I've been to, you've probably also been to funerals. When you go to the funeral of people and you can see it. You can see where people are talking. Yeah, mashallah, what a nice person. Hi, 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 hi. It's a shame, isn't it? Such a good person. Such a good person. And you know, when I hear these words, you're at a funeral, you want to smile. You want to smile because you're hearing these words, but because you're obviously at a funeral, you can't smile because people will think, why is he smiling? You're at a funeral, but you want to smile because you think to yourself that, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. People are thinking good about this person. And inshallah, this person will be a jannati. But then you go to other funerals, and people don't say anything. They remain quiet. And you think to yourself, why? Why are they not praising this person? And then you find out afterwards what kind of life that person left. Yes, as Muslims, we go to the funeral. Yes, as Muslims, we go there and attend the funeral. Yes, as Muslims, we do the dua and we bury them. But we remain silent. And in that silence, there is something there as well. So viewers of Mother Channel, reflect, think. You know, what kind of person am I? Am I an honest, truthful person? And this also reflects in our business dealings as well. We're talking about being a successful trader today. That are we cast as an honest businessman? You know, we're running a business, do people think we're honest? You know, or do people realize that every now and then we'll put something dodgy in there? You know, I'm selling fruit and I'll put some dodgy fruit in there. I'm selling something else and I'll put some bad stuff in there or whatever, just to make up the weight. Or we'll fiddle people out of money, you know? We lose the honesty. I'm going to go to the reminder of the day, inshallah. When I come back, I'm going to give you an example. Have our honesty of a certain individual caused someone to accept the deen of Islam? Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
The entire Quran is very powerful and has a great effect on the reader. But even within the Quran, there are certain surahs that have special merit and virtue. And one such surah is Surah Yasin. And it's referred to as the heart of the Quran. Many people memorize Surah Yasin Sharif. They recite it throughout their lives. We should also commit to memorizing this blessed surah. It's the heart of the Quran. And Sayyiduna Ikrimah, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, states that whoever recites Surah Yasin in the morning to begin the day, meaning that person begins the day with Surah Yasin, he will remain happy until the evening. This is just one narration. There are so many other narrations regarding Surah Yasin. If someone recites it once, it's as if he's recited the Quran 10 times, meaning the reward is like that. And also, a narration tells us that when you recite Surah Yasin before your tasks, before any important task, inshallah, that will be fulfilled in accordance to your desire as well. So recite the Quran, and specifically recite Surah Yasin whenever you get a chance, to attain much barakat and blessings.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was Hafiz Kaleem Madani, mashallah, one of our graduates from Jamiatul Madina in the UK, giving us some Madani pearls. And just aside from the topic that, alhamdulillah, here in the UK, we have many Jamiatul Madinas for both brothers and sisters. And what are Jamiatul Madinas? Jamiatul Madinas are those institutes that are creating the scholars of the future. And here in the UK, obviously, we know there's a great need for the English-speaking scholars. And alhamdulillah, we have female scholar jamias and male scholar jamias up and down the country. You know, and I would advise you to join them. They are full-time and part-time in many, many different places. And they are producing the English-speaking scholars of the future. MashaAllah, Hafiz Kaleem is one of them. Views of the channel, just before the break, today we're talking about how to be a successful trader. But just before the break, we're talking about honesty. And honesty is something that is very important within being a businessman, being a trader. And there was an imam that had moved to a new area. And he was traveling on a bus. And he got on the bus and he gave his money to the bus driver at the front. And the bus driver gave him the change. And he didn't count it, he just put it in his hand and went and sat down. When he sat down, he looked at his change and he'd realized that the bus driver had given him a small amount back. I think it was 20p or maybe 50p back. 20p extra he'd given him back. So he thought to himself that, you know, he's made a mistake. And first of all, he thought to himself, you know, that when I get off the bus, I'll give him the 20p, I'll take two. But then he thought, you know, it's a big organization, isn't it? What difference does it make? You know, I'll keep this 20p for myself, or I'll put this 20p in the mosque, or something like that. You know, so many thoughts go through his mind. And all these thoughts were going through his mind, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I, shouldn't I, shouldn't I? Should I speak to the bus driver? Should I not speak to the bus driver? Even to the extent when his stop came, as he got up and he's walking towards the front of the bus, his mind was, you know, forget it. I need to get somewhere. I'm in a rush. I'll get there. And I'll worry about it later. But then just as he got to the front of the bus, something stopped him. And he turned to the bus driver and he said that, do you realize, you know, you'd made a mistake? And the bus driver said, what mistake did I make? He said, you give me 20p extra. You know, here's the 20p. And the bus driver said, I didn't make a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. I give you that 20p on extra on purpose. I have been told that Muslims are honest people. And I wanted to find out today that were Muslims honest people? Now that you have proved that Muslims are honest, accept me into the fold of Islam. That person, he read the Shahada, he became a Muslim. And when the Imam Sahib got off the bus and sat down, he started crying. Crying and crying and crying. And he said, Ya Allah, today I nearly sold my Iman for 20p. I nearly sold my Iman for 20p. As a result of him being honest for that 20p, that 20 pence may seem insignificant to us. As a result of him being honest for that 20 pence, that person accepted Islam. And what you need to understand is, if a result of your actions, one person accepts Islam, then it's not one person. It is not one person. It is all of his progeny from then until the day of judgment, inshallah, azza wa jalla. His family, his relatives, everybody, they have the potential, and the door is open for all of them to accept Islam because of this one person. But if that one person saw dishonesty inside you, saw cruelty inside you, saw injustice inside you, saw the other sins that we talk about, lying, cheating, backbiting, swearing, all these other things, if they see this inside you, would they accept Islam? And that is something that we constantly say here in the West, here in the UK, that every single one of you, every single one of you, whether you are an active member of Dawat Islami, whether you are not, whether you go to the masjid 5 times a day or not, whatever you do in your life, you are all, every single one of you are ambassadors of Islam. You are representing Islam. Your actions are watched. Your actions are looked. And I'm not talking about CCTV and the agencies. I'm talking about people are looking at you. They're looking at your actions. They're looking at your character. In the same way that I said earlier on, the people, when they see you and they, you know, the image that we have created in front of people, that will affect us on the Day of Judgment. In the same way that our image, the way we live our lives, will create an impact in people's hearts as well. Not about me, they might not know me. They don't know me. Those people that don't know me, but they'll still see me. And they'll see how I deal with people, how I react with people, how I do business with people, how I'm just with people, how I'm unjust with people. And as a result of that, you can either, they'll either come closer to Islam or they'll go further away from Islam. So your responsibility, I've always said this, and many, many scholars have said this, that in the West, the Muslim's responsibility is greater. You have a greater responsibility than in a land where the majority are Muslims. Because in a land where the Muslims are a minority, people are looking at you. What kind of person is he? What does he do? Is he all right? Is he good? Is he honest? And they'll look at little things. And they'll appreciate little things. You know? And this is something that we need to ponder on. Here's another chance. Today we're talking, and I've gone off topic, I do apologize. I have this bad habit. We're talking about being a successful trader. And I want to give you here what is stated in Bahari Shariat, that Sadr Sharia, Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, stated. When he talks about commerce, when he talks about trade, he said that the more the needs of people are, the more difficult it is to satisfy them. If a person starts doing all the work alone to fulfill his needs, for example, he cultivates the land by himself, then he grinds the grains by himself, then he sews the clothing himself after weaving it himself, and then he may fail and may not spend the days of his life easily. It is the perfect system of Allah Azza wa Jal that He has divided all of the humans in different fields and different types so that every group may do their own work and the collaborative effort of all these groups may fulfill the needs of the people. For example, he says, some people cultivate while others weave the cloth. Some do other types of work with their own hands. Those who cultivate also need clothes. Similarly, those who weave the cloth are dependent on those who cultivate for getting the grain. Everyone depends on each other. That's why the need was felt that whatever was produced should be sent to each other so that all can fulfill their needs and there could be no trouble in the work as well. Things started then, and the matters of buying and selling and every kind of other matting came into being. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, undoubtedly commerce or trade is a good and permissible act. Doing business is permissible, and it's a good thing. And that's why the blessed companions, they would do business, they would trade. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also trade. They would trade with each other. They also used to trade in clothes with each other. Similarly, Islamic scholars and pious people after them did the same. But they never disregarded the business principles as prescribed by Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah An-Nisa, part 5, verse 29, and I give you the translation. O believers, consume not unjustly the property of one another amongst yourselves, except it be a trade by your mutual consent. Allahu Akbar. Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Makki, Hatami Shafi Ramatullah Ta'ala said in this blessed verse, he said that Allah Azza wa Jal has clearly stated that trade is permissible on condition that it is done with parties' consent, and consent can be obtained provided that there is no cheating and corruption. Therefore, the one who wants to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who wants safety of his religion and the world and the hereafter and respect, should make efforts for his religion, and he should never follow anything related to cheating and corruption in business. So it's very important, like I said right at the beginning, I said to you that earning a halal income is very, very important for us. We all make money. You know, there will be very few people out here that cannot survive. You know, there are people that are in certain parts of the world that they are surviving on benefit, the system is providing them. But the majority of us, at some point in our life, we go out and we earn an income, we make money. Have we ever thought to ourselves that what I'm earning is halal? Because, you know, a lot of people think halal is just what I'm eating. You know, and they'll look at the food and say, is this halal? Yes, it is. Is this halal? Yes, it is. Or is this not? And they'll make a decision based on that. But halal and haram is just not your food. There are halal and haram acts. There are halal and haram things. There are halal and haram income.
There are halal and haram jobs. There are so many things. And not all of us are scholars. So why should we not go to the scholars? And I mentioned earlier when I showed you, mashallah, the clip of Hafiz Kaleem Madani. These are the UK-born English-speaking scholars. Go to these people, ask them. And then they, if they have any doubt, they will go to Darul Fath, they will go to the Muftis, and they will get a clearance for you. And just think in your heart that, you know, what I'm doing is halal. I've got nothing to worry about, have I? Yeah. I've got nothing to worry about. I'm making a halal income. Alhamdulillah. What have I got to worry about? But if you have that, you know, they say that they have a thief inside your heart. Yeah? A thief inside your heart that doesn't want to disclose it, that doesn't want to talk about it, doesn't want to mention it. Why? Because he's scared. That if I ask the scholars, if I ask Darul Iftah, they'll say it's haram, and then what am I going to do? And then everybody knows. Yeah, it'll come out in the society. But I don't want people to know, so just forget about it. We can't do that. We can't live our lives like that, viewers of the channel. We need to be honest, just traders and earn a halal income. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break. Now we've got the hadith of the day, inshallah. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Let us listen to the virtue of the noble prophetic household from the blessed tongue of our noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is stated and reported by Sayyiduna Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu. He says, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I heard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, أَلَا إِنَّ مِثْلَ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي فِيكُمْ مِثْلُ سَفِينَةِ نُوحٍ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا هَلَكَ. رَوَاهُ أَحْمَد. It is reported by Sayyiduna Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu that he was holding on to the door of the Holy Kaaba and he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, behold, listen attentively, the example of my Ahle Bayt among you is like that of Nuh's ark. Whoever boarded it was saved, whoever remained behind was destroyed. He held on to the door of the Kaaba so that the listeners would realize the great importance of this hadith. And what does it mean? This statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as during the flood of Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam, the only means of salvation was the ark of Nuh, in the same way until the Day of Judgment, the only means of salvation is love for the Ahlul Bayt, obedience to them, and following their path. Without obedience and adherence, a claim of love is meaningless. In another hadith, it is mentioned, أَصْحَابِي كَالنُّجُومِ فَبِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. My companions are like stars. Whichever of them you follow, you will be guided. Thus, the world is like an ocean, and in this journey, one needs both the ship to ride upon and the stars to be guided by. All praise is for Allah Almighty. The Ahlul Sunnah are secure and are upon salvation, for they hold firmly to both the Ahlul Bayt and the noble Sahaba-i Kiram. And those people who have animosity to the noble prophetic household, they have no ship. And those who have animosity to any of the Sahaba-i Kiram, they have no sense of guiding stars. Thus, neither of them can cross this ocean and reach safely. My dear viewers of Madni channel, this narration provides guidance to the Muslim Ummah, which path you need to stay on. And Alhamdulillah, the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah is upon that path, where in one side we have the blessed teachings and guidance and love for the prophetic household, the Ahlul Bayt. And on the other side of our, we have the blessed love and the admiration and respect for the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ahle sunnat ka hai bera baar, ashabe huzoor najm hai, aur nao hai itrat Rasulullah hakiki. This means that the Ahle sunnati wal jama'ah are secured and are safe in this world and in the hereafter. For they have the love of the Ahlul Bayt and the love and respect for the Honorable Sahaba-i-Kiram alayhim ridwan. May Allah Almighty keep us firm in our love for these auspicious personalities, and may we remain on this belief and love whilst we leave this world. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And again, there was another clip there about earning and halal income. It's very, very important. This is what we're talking about today. It's something that maybe in our lives we do not consider, we do not think about. But like I said right at the beginning, deen, our deen of Islam is such a beautiful deen that it covers every single aspect of our lives. Every single aspect of our lives is covered, and it's up to us whether we're going to make the effort of acquiring this knowledge. And certain knowledge is farḍ upon us. You know, it's obligatory upon us. And people will think, well, it's only obligatory to know how to read my namaz. It's obligatory to know how to fast. You know, when I go on the Hajj, it's obligatory upon me to find out about that. But no, there are other aspects of knowledge that are obligatory upon us. When you get married, it's obligatory upon you to acquire the knowledge of nikah and the knowledge of marriage. You know, if you want to do a business, you know, it's obligatory upon you to acquire that knowledge, that further knowledge with regards to that regard, that aspect of your life. So it's very, very important that we acquire this knowledge, viewers of the channel. Alhamdulillah, we have a guest, so we can speak to our guest of the day. We, mashallah, have Hafiz Nushad, mashallah, again, all the way from South Africa. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah, Hafiz Ab, how are you?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. How is Khalid bhai?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Jazakallah, Hafiz Ab. We keep on giving you this task of dragging you to our program. May Allah reward you, that you bless us virtually every other day and giving you madri pools. And I can see that, mashallah, we've got the camera on you. Normally we just get a picture of you, but alhamdulillah, I'm not only able to see your blessed face, but I can watch you moving as well, inshallah. Subhanallah. Hafiz Ab, part of our deen teaches us that every aspect of our life is covered in the deen of Islam. And you know, on this topic, we've talked a little bit about honesty, but we've not really mentioned many other aspects of this. If there's something that you can elaborate on, give some good money pearls to our viewers, that how should we be? How should a successful trader be? And you know, a successful trader is not someone that makes a million, yeah, makes a billion. He's not a billionaire. That is not a successful trader in Islam. If you can give us some money pearls with regards to this, please.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another beautiful topic, mashallah, azza wa jal, you have brought. And as you rightfully said, that if a person, a Muslim, is going to engage in business dealings and trade, then it becomes incumbent upon them to learn the rulings of trade. And Islam teaches that as well, the do's and the don'ts, because we want to keep our income pure. We don't want to mix it with anything which is haram and prohibited, because that directly affects us. Yes, it is a sin, and sin means as punishment. But imagine, I'm going to use that money. I'm going to use those profits to clothe myself, to clothe my children, my spouse. I'm going to use that to buy food, to feed and nourish my children and my family. Don't you think that's great? It won't have a negative effect, and there won't be any negative repercussions? Of course they would. When those same kids end up being rebellious and not listening to us, when they end up being wayward, I need to think first that, did I mix my halal income with haram? And therefore, this is one of the punishments, and this is one of the consequences. You know, Khalid bhai, and to our dear viewers and listeners out there, a person may feel that, you know, I have to, in today's day and age, get involved, na'udhu billah, in bribery and corruption if I want those tenders, if I want those deals to be closed. I mean, where is my yaqeen in Allah Azza wa Jal? Where is my trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, that, you know, I believe in taqadir. I believe that what is due to me, that is what is going to come to me. A person can open his shop for 10 hours, and if he's only going to earn 1,000, that's all he's going to earn. And a person can open his shop for 1 hour, and if he's going to earn 10,000, that's what he's going to earn, so long as he's keeping it halal within the framework of the Sharia, the Islamic sacred law. And we have so many beautiful examples there from Sahaba Ikram, from our pious predecessors, that they used trade as well to propagate Islam. They went towards, for example, Southeast Asia. They went eastwards as traders, as merchants, as people that sold goods. And they did this with honesty. This was their foundation, because this is the teaching of Islam. We have this concept that honesty is not the best policy. It's the only policy, not just in trade, but in my life as a Muslim, in my day-to-day interaction, whether with my family or with my friends or with my colleagues, with my clients. Honesty, this is what our deen teaches us. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was called As-Sadiqul Amin, the one who was the most trustworthy, the one who was the most honest and truthful as well. So how about me as a Muslim? I follow in that footstep. Don't look at the bribery and the corruption and the underhand deals that are taking place. That's going to affect your income and your profits negatively. Sahaba Ikram and the early Muslims, they traveled in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they used trade to promote Islam. People saw that these people are so honest in their dealings. These people are not deceiving us. They are giving us more than we are bargaining for. They are so honest in their dealings. And this also was one way of attracting the people towards Islam.
Allah. I think that's a very, very important aspect that you mentioned there, Hafiz Saab. That when the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they traveled and they did commerce, they did business around the world, then their actions, you know, were what attracted people to Islam. And as you know, Hafiz Saab, that you're living in a country where you know, are a minority as Muslims. And I think you will also agree with me that people, when they accept Islam, the majority of them, they don't accept Islam by studying the Quran. They don't accept Islam by comparing the Quran to science or comparing it to any other books or studying that. They accept Islam by looking at the person in front of them. But that person in front of them, he is an ambassador of Islam. He is representing Islam. And I think that is something that's very important for us, because we talk about the time of the companions, and the companions, they went to these places where, you know, there were no Muslims. And as a result of the actions, as a result of the way they lived their lives, as a result of the honesty, people accepted Islam. But in the same way, Hafiz Saab, me and you in particular, we are living in lands where we are a minority. And surely, without a doubt, our character is what people see when they see Islam. You're talking about the pious companions, that people used to see the honesty, people used to see the way they lived their life. And as a result of that, they were attracted to Islam. But isn't it the same today with me and you living in these lands?
Absolutely, Khalid Bhai. See, as you said, that we are ambassadors of Islam. There's a misconception that, no, it's the ulama, it's the scholars who are the ambassadors of Islam. You as a Muslim, whether a layman or not, you are a representative of Islam. You are an ambassador of Islam, male or female. And people, they judge Islam through the character, through the behavior of the Muslims. So should I not refine my character? Should I not refine my mannerism in accordance to Islamic teachings? Because Islamic teachings are the best. If you want to learn good morals, you want to learn modesty, you want to learn honesty, you want to learn refinement of character, this is all embodied in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So again, I need to come back and learn my deen. And I need to be in an environment where it becomes a little easier for me to practice my deen, especially in this day and age. Because people are judging Islam by the behavior of Muslims. You're going to get good Muslims, you're going to get bad Muslims, those who are misrepresenting Islam as well. So it's our responsibility, our duty to represent Islam as it was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because his refined character is, of course, the best. You're not going to find anybody comparable to him. But his character was kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His character was the Quran. He was the walking Quran. Subhanallah. And if I read the Quran, I understand the Quran, I want to implement the Quran, that will lie also in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we have, you know, Indonesia, for example, which is the largest Muslim population country in the world? How do we have millions of Muslims, for example, in China and other far-flung places in the world? Sahaba Ikram, Awliya Allah, they traveled there, they sent people there, as traders. And again, people saw that these are so honest people. I remember our teachers used to tell us, the early Muslims, one of the things they used to do, subhanAllah, amazing. Imagine if we have to implement something like this, that they would take their prophets because they were honest in their dealings, because they did not deceive people, and they always gave back to their communities. They would take their prophets and they would divide it into three. One third they would use to for their own expenses, like they can say their monthly expenses for themselves and their families. One third they would reinvest it in their business, and one third they would inject it in society. Because they know, end of the day, society is going to come back as clients, as customers, and buy from their shops. SubhanAllah.
But you know, I think you'll agree that, Hafiz Saab, that as Muslims, especially in the West, that our role is greater than living in a country like Indonesia or Pakistan, where the majority of the people are there. And not only that, I mean, I've had examples. I don't know if you've had examples. I've worked in offices where there used to be a tradition that every Friday they would go to the pub and they would go and have some alcohol during the lunch break on a Friday. And every Friday they would invite me, and I would say, no, I don't do this. I'm a Muslim. And what was sad was they accepted that. But what saddened me was, oh, they said, well, he comes. And he's a Muslim, and he comes, and he's a Muslim, and he comes, and he's a Muslim. And I think what we need to realize as Muslims is that your actions are being viewed, yeah? Not only about, we're talking about honesty, but everything else as well. That because you're living in a society where we are a minority, then like you rightly said, and I said earlier on, that we are ambassadors of Islam. And so I think our role as Muslims is greater than the role of a Muslim in a Muslim society. Because in a Muslim society, when a person is bad, then they will not say Islam is bad. They will say that individual is bad. They will say that individual is not right. Yeah, they will point at him and they say, oh, you know, Khalid is not right. Khalid is wrong. But in this society where me and you are living, if a Muslim does something wrong, they will not say, oh, Khalid Bhai is wrong. They'll say that Muslims like this. And then we see it across the media, we see it in every platform, that Muslims are targeted because of the actions of an individual. And so our role, our image that we need to present to people is greater in this society.
Honestly, I'll be honest with you that Dawud Islami has, transformed millions of people's lives out there. My personal experience, when I first entered into Dawud Islami, at that time I was a call center agent for actually a British company, right? And subhanAllah, because of my association and being part of Dawud Islami, that gave me like himmat, it gave me courage that, whilst at work, I approached the directors and I asked them, you know what, I need to perform my salah. Everybody else is having their smoke breaks. I don't smoke. So, you know, give me some time. And they actually, you know, because of explaining to them why it's necessary for me, they gladly gave me their boardroom to perform my salah. So this is one of the benefits of Dawud Islami, that it gives us that encouragement and motivation no matter where you are. And people are understanding. People are accepting if we approach in the right manner. Although many of the other Muslims, they were not even worried about Jumu'ah Salah, unfortunately, and they would join in the office parties, and you know, there's generally alcohol and what have you. But alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami keeps us grounded in Islamic teachings, gives us that motivation, because many Muslims out there have inferiority complex that, you know, wearing the Imam Sharif of Islamic sisters, wearing the niqab and the parada and what have you. But Dawud Islami, it frees us from the shackles of, you know, others judging us. And, you know, this is who I am. I'm a Muslim. I'm proud to be a Muslim. I'm a follower of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what Dawud Islami also gives you and I.
Mashallah. Hafiz Saab, I want to share with you an example of honesty that I had. I was in Pakistan, in Karachi. And I don't know if you know, there's a certain dish called dam pukht, where basically they get a whole lamb, and they roast it and they fill inside it with rice, you know, and sultanas and everything. And they roast the whole animal. And we were having a family gathering, we were having a khatam. And so we'd never had this dish before. So we had to order this dish. So I had to go a day before and I gave the money for the dish and they said, collect it the next time, a certain day. Okay. So the next day came, I went, we collected the dish, you know, it's big. You can imagine how big it was. We collected it, we brought it home, we all enjoyed the meal, alhamdulillah, no problem. And 3 days later, Hafiz Saab, 3 days later, the shopkeeper, he phoned me up from the place that the food was made. And he said to me, I'm doing my accounts today. And I've realized that that goat that we give you was smaller than the normal size. It was approximately 1.5 kilos less than the normal weight of a goat. And because it was 1.5 kilo less, then obviously the meat cost us less. So can you please come back and we owe you this amount of money? And I was like, I was shocked, Hafizab. Honestly, I was shocked. I was genuinely shocked. I should not have been shocked. But he insisted, and I came back and I went to him and he said, you know, thankfully I found you, because I was scared. He said to me, I was scared that I didn't have your number. I was scared that we'd lost your number, you know? And I'm looking at him in awe thinking, this person, he has this fear inside him. And he said, I'm really glad that you've come back, because I was scared that we'd lost your number. I started looking for your number everywhere. Thankfully we have found it. Please accept this money. And you know, not only that one, alhamdulillah, in my heart, what I thought about the person, but as a result of the honesty, everybody I know, I say, go buy from him. Go to him. Because obviously, he's an honest person. And you should appreciate honest people. And this is what we need to realize, that if someone is honest, people will appreciate us. So that is something that had like a huge impact on me. His honesty had a huge, and I'll never forget it, ever. I mean, this event probably took place 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago. And I will never forget it. You know, I can take you, inshallah, Hafiz Sahab, next time that you are in Karachi, inshallah, with me, I'll take you there, inshallah. We'll go there together. But I was so amazed at the honesty of this person, alhamdulillah. And that, again, is something that we need to do. We, as Muslims, do we live our lives in such a way that we have that impact on others in the same way that that person had an impact on me? That is the question that we need to ask.
Well, as you mentioned, the honest shopkeeper, you have experienced this firsthand. Now, obviously, you are going to tell the next person. You're going to tell so many other people that that's the place to buy from.
Jazakallah, Hafizah, for your time. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. Please look after yourself. Remember me in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Hafizah, all the way from South Africa. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him for his time and his effort. And, you know, I remember a time where Hafizah was studying in Karachi, you know, and for someone that lives in a different country, to travel to a different country is not easy. And he traveled there and he studied there and he spent time there. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him for all of his efforts. And now he's doing a fantastic job in South Africa as well. Viewers on my channel, you're watching Arise and Shining today. We're talking about being a successful, honest trader. And I give the example there of the shopkeeper that called me back after 3 days. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him. I will never forget him. And I will always try and remember him in my du'as. We're going to take a small break now. Alhamdulillah, we've got a little cartoon, especially for the youngsters. But in these cartoons that Dawud Islami has, they're not just there for the youngsters. So when these cartoons come on, don't think, oh, you know, you watch that, I'll go away and do something else now. No, no. There are messages there for all of us, and we can all learn and benefit from this. So let's go to this small package, inshallah. And then when we come back, we'll try and continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
सबके काम ये आती है
वाह भाई
अच्छी बातें सिखाती है
वाह
छोटी मुंह से बात बड़ी ये अक्सर कर जाती है कितनी अच्छी बच्ची है
बहुत अच्छी
बात
है
बात में ये सच्ची है
कोई गलत करता है कुछ तो ये उसे समझाती है
कनीज फातिमा
अरे वाह ये क्या है ये स्टार्स आ कहां से रहे हैं
अल्लाहू अकबर 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 अल्लाहू अकबर
आमीन आपी ये आप तस्बीह पर क्या पढ़ रही थी
रायका में हर नमाज के बाद तस्बीह फातिमा पढ़ती हूँ
तस्बीह फातिमा ये क्या होती है आपी
सुभान अल्लाह अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह और अल्लाहु अकबर का वेन तस्बीह फातिमा कहलाता है
आपी ये कितनी दफा पढ़ना होता है
रायका तस्बीह फातिमा में सुभान अल्लाह 33 टाइम्स अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह भी 33 टाइम्स और अल्लाहू अकबर 34 टाइम्स पढ़ा जाता है ये वो तस्बीह है जिसे हमारे प्यारे आका
صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم نے حضرت فاطمہ رضی اللہ عنہا کو پڑھنے کے لیے دی تھی اور فرمایا تھا کہ یہ تمہارے لیے خادم سے بہتر ہے، یعنی کہ تمہاری ساری تھکاوٹ دور ہو جائے اور سب کام اب خود ہی کر لیا کرو گی۔
اگر یہ تسبیح میں بھی پڑھوں گی تو کیا مجھے بھی تھکاوٹ نہیں ہوگی؟ میں بھی تو اسکول جاتی ہوں، ٹیوشن جاتی ہوں، اپنا سارا ہوم ورک کرتی ہوں اور پھر آپ کے اور مما کے سارے کام بھی کرتی ہوں، تھکن تو مجھے بھی بہت ہو جاتی ہے۔
ارے بھائی تو اسے آپ بھی پڑھیں نا، یہ تو بہت اچھی بات ہے، آپ کو بھی اس سے بہت فائدہ ہوگا۔
سبحان اللہ، اسے کیا میں ابھی پڑھ سکتی ہوں؟
کیوں نہیں رائکا، بالکل پڑھ سکتی ہیں، لیکن ہر نماز کے بعد اس تسبیح کو پڑھنا زیادہ افضل ہے۔ یہ لے جائے نماز میں بیٹھ کر ادب سے پڑھیں، اور جب پڑھ لیں تو یہ جائے نماز وہیں رکھیے گا جہاں اس کی جگہ ہے، تاکہ اگر امی کو نماز پڑھنی ہو تو وہیں سے اٹھا لیں۔
ٹھیک ہے آپ، یہ جزاک اللہ خیر۔ الحمد للہ اللہ اکبر 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 اللہ اکبر۔ یا اللہ یہ کیا ہو گیا؟
رائکا
جی جی آپی،
جلدی سے نیچے آ کر دودھ پی لے۔
آئی، رک جاؤ، کہاں جا رہے ہو؟ آئی
آرام سے رائکا، گر جائیں گی۔ رائکا دیکھا نا، گر گئی، زیادہ لگی تو نہیں؟
نہیں ابھی نہیں لگی۔ اوئی
لگی ہے نا، میں نے آپ کو کتنی بار سمجھایا ہے، آہستہ چلا کریں اور سیڑھیوں سے ہمیشہ آرام سے ہی اترا کریں، اور اترتے ہوئے سبحان اللہ اور سیڑھیوں سے اوپر چڑھتے ہوئے اللہ اکبر کا ورد کیا کریں۔ یہاں آ کر بیٹھے، میں آپ کے لیے دودھ میں ہلدی ملا کر لاتی ہوں، آپ کو درد میں آرام ملے گا۔
نہیں، مجھے ایسے ہی دے دیں۔
ارے رائکا، کتنی بری بات ہے، ایک تو آپ نے الٹے ہاتھ سے گلاس پکڑ کے دودھ پیا جو کہ سنت کے خلاف ہے، ہمیں ہمیشہ سیدھے ہاتھ سے ہی ہر چیز کھانی چاہیے، سیدھے ہاتھ سے ہی ہر چیز دینی اور لینی چاہیے۔ دوسری بات، آپ نے دودھ پینے سے پہلے نہ ہی بسم اللہ شریف پڑھی اور نہ ہی دودھ پینے کی دعا پڑھی، کیا کہہ رہی ہیں؟ دعا کا پوچھ رہی ہیں؟ دودھ پینے کی دعا یہ ہے، اللہم بارک لنا فیہ وزدنا منہ، اے اللہ پاک ہمارے لیے اس میں برکت عطا فرما اور ہمیں مزید عطا فرما۔ کیا ہو گیا ہے رائکا آپ کو؟ ویسے تو آپ چپ ہی نہیں ہوتی، ابھی یہ کیوں کر رہی ہیں؟ کچھ بول کیوں نہیں رہی؟ آپ کے منہ میں کچھ ہے نا؟ رائکا جھوٹ نہیں بولتے، پتہ ہے نا آپ کو جھوٹ بولنا کتنی بری بات ہے۔ کون؟ ایک منٹ، آئی، آپ یہیں رکے، میں ابھی آئی۔
شکر ہے بچ گئی، آپ ہی کو پتا چل جاتا تو مسئلہ ہو جاتا، بہت ناراض ہوتی وہ تو۔
رائکا میں نے آپ سے کہا تھا نا وہیں رکے، بڑوں کا کہنا نہ ماننا بہت بری بات ہے، اور یہ کیا چھپا رہی ہیں آپ منہ میں؟
یہ چھپا رہی تھی۔
یہ کیا ہے؟
آپ کی تسبیح کا دانا۔
یہ کیسے نکل گیا؟
صرف یہی نہیں،
بلکہ سارے ارادے نکل گئے تھے۔
اللہ، رائکہ یہ کیا کیا آپ نے؟ تسبیح توڑ دی؟
توڑی نہیں ہے، ٹوٹ گئی ہے اور سارے دانے بکھر گئے تھے۔ یہ تو دودھ کے گلاس میں چلا گیا تھا، اسی لیے میں نیچے نہیں بول رہی تھی، کیونکہ میں نے منہ میں یہ چھپایا ہوا تھا۔
او ہو، تو مطلب آپ نے دودھ پیتے ہوئے وہ موتی منہ میں روک لیا تھا؟ رائکہ، خدا نہ خواستا یہ موتی اگر آپ کے حلق میں پھنس جاتا یا سانس کی نالی میں اٹک جاتا تو پتا ہے آپ کے لیے کتنی مشکل ہو جاتی۔ رائکہ، ہمیشہ یاد رکھیں، بچوں کو اس طرح سے یہ موتی، تسبیح کے دانے یا سکے وغیرہ کبھی بھی منہ میں لے کر نہیں کھیلنا چاہیے۔ یہ اگر حلق میں پھنس جائے تو جان کو بھی خطرہ ہو سکتا ہے، سمجھی؟
جی سمجھ گئی، انشاءاللہ اب میں ایسا کبھی نہیں کروں گی۔
جزاک اللہ خیر، اللہ پاک آپ کو اپنی بات پوری کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے۔ آمین ثم آمین۔
کنیز فاطمہ، اچھی بچی کنیز فاطمہ۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ، ویورز آف مدنی چینل، یو واچنگ رائز اینڈ شائن، دی ارلی مارننگ پروگرام۔ وی ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ ارننگ ان حلال انکم، بینگ اے سکسیسفل ٹریڈر، بینگ این آنیسٹ پرسن۔ اٹس سم تھنگ دیٹ وی نیڈ ٹو ڈیولپ ان سائڈ آر سیلز اینڈ آسک آر سیلز، آر وی آنیسٹ؟ ناٹ جسٹ آئی تھنک آئی ایم آنیسٹ، بٹ ڈو پیپل تھنک آئی ایم آنیسٹ؟ اینڈ ارننگ اے لائیولیہڈ از سم تھنگ دیٹ وی ہیو، وی شوڈ ڈو، you know, is part of our nature to go out and earn a livelihood. And I'm going to give you a few hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is narrated that Sayyidina Khab bin Udra radiyallahu ta'ala has narrated that once the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his blessed companions, in the meantime a young man, he passed by, and this person, they saw him, that he was a powerful and a strong man, and the blessed companions, they said, would that he could spend his youth and strength in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, if only that this young man, he's strong, he's healthy, if only he could spend his youth and his strength in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, if a person has come out to look for sustenance for his small children, then he's in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if this person has come out to look for sustenance for his old parents, even then he's in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if this person has come out to protect himself from begging from people or from eating haram, then he's in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. However, if he has come out for ostentation and pride, then he's in the way of shaitan. So going out with the intention of earning a halal income, you are in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If you are earning a halal income for yourself, you are earning a halal income for your children, you are earning a halal income from your parents, then you are in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But I just want to stop here. Some people have this, you know, when you say to them, you know, brother, you know, come on, it's time for namaz, you should read namaz, you know, and he said, well, I'm in the way of Allah, aren't I? What do you mean you're in the way? Well, I'm earning money, you know. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you are out earning a halal income, then you are in the way of Allah. Yeah, so I'm in the way of Allah, aren't I? That does not negate you. This is something that we make a mistake. That does not negate you from your responsibilities of what is obligatory upon you. Your five times daily salah is still obligatory upon you. You cannot say, oh, I'm in the way of Allah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are traveling, if you are out earning a halal income, you're in the way of Allah. If you are earning to bring up your children, your parents, you're looking after them, then you are in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so I don't need to read my namaz, I don't need to fast, because then I will struggle to be in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't do this, this is not right. It doesn't take away what is obligatory upon you. It is still obligatory upon you to pray five times a day. It is still obligatory upon you to fast in the month of Ramadan. It's still obligatory upon you that if you are financially and physically capable, that you perform the Hajj. Remember this, this is again the beautiful Islamic ruling with regard to Hajj. When you are financially capable of performing the Hajj, it's not like Ramadan, it's not like fasting that you have to perform the Hajj every year. You have to fast every year, you have to pray your namaz five times a day. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, that when he issued the command of performing the Hajj, and the companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it Hajj fard upon us every year? And he was asked this question three times.
And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his authority that he had, that again is something that we need to understand, a separate topic, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his authority, said no. But he said, if I said yes, then Hajj would have been farther upon you every year. But Hajj in itself, there is a condition on it, only if you're financially capable. So if you are financially capable, if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with that money, if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with that money to perform the Hajj and you do not perform the Hajj, then what answer will you give on the Day of Judgment? So you being in the way of Allah, by earning a halal income, by bringing up your children, by providing for your spouse, by providing for your parents, by stopping yourself from going to a haram place, you are earning a halal income, you're eating halal food, to still not take away from you these obligations that I've mentioned to you, i.e. reading your namaz, fasting, performing the Hajj, giving the zakat, it doesn't take this away from you. It is still obligatory upon you. And with regard to the Hajj, if Hajj is farther upon you and you die without performing your Hajj, then you run the risk of dying without your iman. So, you know, do not have this shaitani whisper inside you. So many people who say, well, you know, I'm working 12 hours a day, I'm in the way of Allah. You know, no. Yes, you are in the way of Allah, but it still doesn't take away from you these obligatory acts of praying 5 times a day, fasting during the month of Ramadan. Yes, I know that when you are fasting, it is hard. Yeah, sometimes it is hard to fast and to worship. You know, it's hard to fast and to work, sorry. I know it's hard. But you know, the harder the exam, the greater the reward. Yeah. You know, a person that passes his GCSEs and a person that passes the PhD, the reward is different, isn't it? So the greater the exam, the greater the hardship, the greater the reward. And why do we fast? We don't fast to feel the pain of the poor and needy. We don't fast so that it burns up our toxins in our stomach. We don't fast because of all these reasons. We fast, why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us to fast. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us to fast, then Allah, without doubt, knows us better than ourselves. He knows what job I'm doing. He knows my lifestyle. He knows everything about me. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered me to fast, then without a doubt, fasting is better for me. So don't make these excuses, these shaitanic whispers that say to you, you know what, you're in the way of Allah, you're working, you're earning a halal income, so you don't have to do these things. No. I want to make that clear, that you still have to pray, you still have to fast, and if Hajj is farz upon you, you should perform that as soon as possible as well. With regarding to earning an income, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a true and an honest businessman, listen to this, viewers of my channel, if ever you have the opportunity to do any business, and you do it with the intention, and you do it with all of your ability to be true and honest, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the true and honest businessman will be with the prophets, with the siddiqeen, and with the martyrs. That is the status, that you will be with the prophets, you will be with the truthful ones, you will be with the martyrs if, and I know it's a big if, but it's not an impossible if. And the if is that you be an honest and a truthful businessman. People nowadays also say, well, you know, you can't run any business with being honest. There is no such thing as an honest business. You cannot be honest without running a business. And people think that it's impossible to be an honest businessman. I mentioned this before on Madani Channel, that a friend of mine, a friend of my father, in fact, he drove a black cab taxi in Manchester. Small beard, hat, and tasbih on the mirror. He picked up 4 passengers, 2 men, 2 female, and he reset the counter. And when he reset the counter, they went on the journey, and at a certain point, they asked for the taxi driver to stop, and 2 passengers got out. When the 2 passengers got out, one of them came to the front and said, how much do we owe you? And the taxi driver looked at the meter and it said £6. So he charged them £6. Now he didn't reset the meter. He continued on the journey. When he got to the destination and the other passengers now got out of the car, yeah, they came to the front and said, how much? Same way. And he looked at the meter and the meter said £12. And he said to them that your friends paid £6. The meter says £12. So you owe £6. You know what they said to him? They said to him, you're not a Muslim, are you? You're not a Muslim, are you? And he said, yeah, yeah, I'm a Muslim. No. You're not a Muslim. And when they said this the second time, third time, he started to get a little bit irate and angry. And remember, I told you, small beard, topi, tasbih on the mirror. I am a Muslim. Why are you saying I'm not a Muslim? What have I done? They said, if you were a Muslim, you would have charged £12. Is this the image that we create amongst people? That even our dealings as taxi drivers, we're not honest? I remember going on a waffle and there was taxi drivers there. And the taxi drivers actually said to me that, brother, unless we charge over, we cannot make an income. I said, so you are blatantly earning haram income. You are blatantly charging people. You are blatantly committing the sin of fiddling these people. How can you have anything in your life that's good? And they all made intention that inshallah from today we'll stop doing that. So, you know, being honest and being truthful, yes, you can get away with it. You know, people got away with it. Them taxi drivers, they got away with it for years. We've been overcharging all the time. We've always overcharged. They've got away with it. But have they? Have they got away with it? Yes, you got away with it with that customer. Yes, you got away with it, that taxi base. Yes, you got away with it in this dunya, but on the day of judgment, will you get away with it? And that is something that we need to realize. That you can get away with something today. You can fiddle someone today. You can be dishonest with someone today, but it will catch up with you. And it will catch up with you on that day that you will not be able to hide. On that day, you will not be able to run. On that day, you will not have any excuses. On that day, no matter how clever you are, you will not be able to get out of this. Because on that day, the supreme justice will prevail. On that day, supreme justice will prevail. In this dunya, when you go to courts, when you go anywhere, people can get out of court. But not on that day. If you are guilty, then you will be punished. And there's no way out. And this mentality that we need to develop, viewers of the channel, in whatever aspect of our life we do, be it on a day-to-day aspect of being alone, interacting with people, or having a business, the mindset should be, Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. You know, on the stalls of Maktabat al-Badira, they do these stickers. But this big. Allah dekh raha hai, Allah is watching you. I would advise you to buy them. Stick them in places in your house. Get a small one, stick it in your car. Yeah? Put it in your room. Put it in your office. Allah is watching you. You may be clever with me. You may be able to do me over, so to speak. You may be able to be dishonest with me, but Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you. And it's been recorded. And it's not recorded on a CCTV system that erases the memory after 30 days or 60 days. This will be there. On the day of judgment, it will be there. It will be brought in front of you. So make a change before it's too late. In another hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that Allah loves the professional who works for his livelihood as a true believer. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who works with his own hands till the evening and feels tired, he does the evening after being forgiven. You know, to earn an halal income, there is a reward in that. There is a blessing in that. And in another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who desires for the world in a halal way to protect himself from begging and to make much effort for his family members and to be kind to his neighbor will meet Allah azza wa jal in the state that his face will be as bright as the full moon. Viewers of the channel, time again is against us. Learn the rulings of Islam with regards to being a businessman, about being a trader. Be honest, be truthful. Whatever is written in your destiny, you will get it. If it is in your destiny to be a millionaire, be an honest millionaire. Be an honest millionaire. Whatever is in your destiny, be honest, be truthful. And remember this final message I want to give to you, that each and every one of you, you, me, all the technical team, everybody behind the cameras here, behind the cameras in Pakistan, all of us, every single one of us, we are all ambassadors of Islam. We all represent Islam. Viewers of Madri Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah,
even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.